For this first Sunday of Advent, Mark chapter 13 may seem like a strange set of readings to welcome in the Christmas season. In fact, as one preacher has put it, Mark 13 arrives at the same time every 3 years in the New Common Lectionary. The turkey's barely off the table, the preacher says, and Mark 13 shows up like the crazy uncle who embarrasses everyone at the table. Today's the first Sunday of Advent. Time for Christmas trees, colorful lights, holiday cheer, and the whole bit. It's a time for Tom Hanks' movie, The Polar Express, but instead we get Arnold Schwarzenegger's End of Days with Hollywood flash, bang, and boom. Crazy uncle indeed. Now, of course, there's an obvious reason. There's an obvious reason why Mark 13 is read, I suppose. It's often called the New Testament's little apocalypse. But it's obvious in that we are yet again waiting for Jesus. And so while Advent is a time to wait for the baby Jesus, Mark 13 is to wait for the coming Lord. The church is always called to be still, to remember, and to wait for Jesus to come yet again, whether the front end or the back end, to come yet again as Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing crazy about that. But even so, why not then just go right to the angel Gabriel's words in, say, Luke's gospel? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you, and you have found favor with God. And now you will receive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now that's the stuff of Advent. But, says Mark, not yet. Not yet. We need to see something first. In fact, really, Mark 13 is all about seeing. Really, the whole gospel of Mark is all about seeing, really seeing, really hearing, really believing, really following Jesus. You know, perhaps more than any of the other Gospels, Mark's has to do with discipleship. What does it mean to be a real disciple? So interested in discipleship is Mark that already in chapter 1, his Gospel already has Jesus calling the first disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And they're called in quick succession, often around the word immediately. Immediately, says Mark, Jesus called them, and immediately they left their nets, and immediately they followed. Discipleship is fast-paced business. There's no time to wait, no time to think twice. Jesus is on the move. Right out of the gate, Jesus is proclaiming the good news of God, saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is near, and he begins to cast out demons, heals the sick, forgives sins, challenges the religious establishment, and draws huge crowds. And so already by chapter 4, Jesus gives his disciples the secret of the kingdom of God. And after all this, the disciples' response, huh? What are you talking about? What's going on here? If Mark's gospel is about moving things along, the disciples are anything but quick, on their toes and close behind. Over and over again, Mark tells us that Jesus' disciples have front row seats to the action, but they somehow don't really see and hear what's taking place right in front of them. By chapter 8, about midpoint in the gospel, Jesus, seemingly slapping his hand to his forehead, says bluntly, "Do you not yet understand?" And so no wonder then, there also in chapter 8, Jesus finally says, "Watch out! Would you pay attention? Stay sharp, be ready." This phrase, "watch out," which Jesus says to his disciples at several critical points in this chapter, but really in the gospel as a whole, this phrase, "watch out," is worth pausing over. In chapter 8, the word for watch out comes from the Greek word blepo, blepo. And it's often translated as to see, to look at, and to beware of. And yet such translations may lose something of the significance of the meaning, for the word has a sense of urgency, suggesting that the stakes are high and the disciples must really see what's going on around them. And so from chapter 4 to chapter 13, Mark employs blepo 8 times. And the translations begin to add up. It's translated as pay attention, watch out, beware. See to it that no one leads you astray. Be on your guard, take heed. It is not simply visual seeing that Jesus is after. He's after discerning vision. Although the disciples have been given the secret of the kingdom of God, they seem not to understand. They're easily confused or swayed by things going on around them. It's amazing. They watch Jesus perform miracles, and yet they worry about what they'll eat. They see Jesus cast out demons, but they're afraid of the religious leaders. They watch Jesus heal the sick and even raise the dead, but they're anxious about their lives. They look, but they don't truly see. They hear, but they don't really understand. And so it is with the opening of chapter 13 that Jesus' disciples take note of the magnitude of the temple. They're visually impressed with the size and grandeur of the temple. But they fail to see the signs of the times all around them. There's a bit of history here we have to take note of. Already brewing in Jesus' day was the belief among some Jews that God's reign in Jerusalem would be preceded by war with God's enemies. And in this case, the enemy was the Roman Empire, which occupied Israel. According to some scholars, the attempt to rid Israel of Rome included, for some Jewish revolutionaries, the effort to get rid of all Gentiles, leaving behind a pure Jewish nation. Such causes like this then continued into Mark's day, decades after the time of Jesus, and they were impacting Mark's community, which now included both Jew and Gentile. One New Testament scholar, Joel Marcus, says of Mark's situation, "In the heat of war and fired by apocalyptic visions of victory by a purified Israel, some Jews are prepared to take drastic steps against Gentiles and against Jews who advocate coexistence with them." That is, the sorts of people who make up Mark's community. These Jewish revolutionaries provoked at times, responded to at other times, Roman antagonism, resulting in flare-ups of fighting, even declarations of war between Jews and Rome. In an effort to hasten God's reign by violence and war, these revolutionary Jews, misreading the signs of the times, actually contributed to Rome's destruction of the temple in AD 70. And so Mark's community is caught right in the middle, right between Rome on the one hand and revolutionary Jews on the other. Another New Testament scholar, Brian Blunt, he puts it this way. Reactionary Roman soldiers would be indiscriminate in their rage against the people, all the people of Israel. Mark's people included Jew and Gentile. Zealot Jews would find Mark's community equally despicable for its unpatriotic, boundary-disturbing stance. Caught in the middle, this community could therefore not afford to be caught off guard. In the fog of violence and war, it is easy to lose sight of what's truly important. And so Jesus' words in chapter 13, verse 5, are all the more urgent. Beware, blepo, that no one leads you astray. If Mark's community, though, is caught in the middle, It is not left without cause. And here we come to the critical point in this chapter, verse 10. In the midst of these warnings and vivid descriptions of persecution and suffering, in the midst of all that, Jesus says, and the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. As Blunt puts it, the command to preach this good news is the glue that ties this apocalyptic chapter together. The good news is that in and through Jesus Christ, all nations, not simply Israel, are called to partake of God's love and grace, dwelling together as one people of God's, within the borderless reign of the kingdom. It's amazing. And so Roman imperialists and Jewish zealots are called to live in peace under one Lord Jesus Christ. The time has arrived. It's upon us. Don't be led astray. Don't be confused. Jesus is calling his elect from the four winds, from the four corners of the earth. And there in the midst of Mark's community resides a glimmer of the kingdom, Jew and Gentile finding their identity in Jesus. Don't be led astray. Watch out. Be alert. Keep awake. And no matter what, preach the good news to all nations. Now, if preaching the gospel is the glue of chapter 13, the point is solidly in place by the end of chapter 13. Throughout this chapter, as I've noted, the word for see has been blepo, to see, to look at, to be aware of. Mark uses the word again in chapter 13, in verse 33, and here it's translated as beware, keep alert. And so far, the word has had a sense of spiritual and wise discernment. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't fall for every cause that comes your way. Keep Jesus Christ and his gospel clearly in sight at all times. But then near the end of chapter 13, Mark reaches for a different word, for different vocabulary, leaving behind the word blepo and taking up the word gregorio. Now, gregorio still means to keep watch, but as Blunt says, it has a sense of correct behavior. Mark is shifting from keeping watch as discernment to keeping watch as action. In fact, Mark uses gregorio extensively in chapter 14 when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's be handed over, and he asks his disciples to keep watch with him, to stay awake with him. He's not asking them to discern. He's literally asking them to stay awake, actively so. It's as if Jesus is saying, do this for me. Jesus' counsel then to keep watch is not passive. It is not simply to watch the world discerningly and provide commentary. It's not simply taking note of all the apocalyptic signs, connecting the dots, and then making predictions about when Jesus will return. It's about entering the arenas of hostility and violence and war. It's about facing the mind-boggling, unbelievable realities of evil and sin in this world. It's about taking on the tensions and strife all around us, and through word and deed, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus makes the point, finally, with a parable. He says it's like this. It's like a man going on a journey. He's getting ready to leave and puts his servants in charge, each with her or his own work. And on the way out the door, the master says, keep watch, gregorio. Now, the last thing one would want as a servant of the master is to be found sleeping when he comes home. Keep watch, keep busy. Your master has given you work to do. One commentator notes that here in the parable, what is being spoken of clearly is that the primary call to be a faithful watchman on the master's behalf is while he's away. We are to be doing the work of the master while he's away, rather than to be a faithful watchman for his appearance because he's returning. It's one thing to look out the window. It's another thing to get the dishes clean. We don't simply look for Jesus. We serve him while we wait for his return. While Mark is clear that we always have to keep an eye on the signs of the time, taking note of what's going on, ready to see the Lord in the air at any minute, he is doubly clear that we are to keep our hands to the plow. We've got kingdom work to do. So, we have work to do this Advent. We live in apocalyptic times. Surely that's the message of Mark 13. It doesn't take much effort to see it all around us. Choose your newspaper. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation against nations, earthquakes, disease, famine, religious conflict, suffering and death. We can find it all. We only need to look to Ferguson, Missouri, to see the night sky ablaze and the heavens shaking. What should we think? We're called to wise spiritual discernment. But maybe more importantly, what should we do? In all things, in all places, in all times, we must proclaim the gospel, giving witness to the reconciliation possible in Jesus Christ. You know, it's hard to know what exactly this means for Church of the Servant. It's tempting to spell out what I think it would mean, to watch and wait for Jesus, to watch and work for him, but I'm going to resist that temptation. Many will come in my name, Jesus warns in verse 6, and they will lead many astray. So it belongs to this congregation, to this community, it belongs to you to discern what's really going on around here. What are the signs of the times in this community, in this city? What needs to be done in Jesus' name? Pastor Jack has noted often now how our church is in a time of discernment and renewal. What does the future hold? What's next for COS? What is it that the Lord has for us? Perfect questions for the first Sunday of Advent. These questions cannot be answered in a sermon, but they will require all of us coming together in worship and fellowship and prayer, waiting on Jesus, seeking him, serving him. This first Sunday of Advent, friends, now is not the time to sit back. Be alert. Keep watch. The Lord is coming. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit, amen.